Welcome, Curious Minds, to the Deep Dive. Today, we want you to think about something maybe you haven't considered much. How art, something so fundamental, can actually be a really powerful form of activism.
Mm-hmm.
Think way back, centuries ago, Martin Luther nailing his proclamation to a church door. I mean, that was an early, super impactful message, challenging everything.
Right? Yeah, a public statement.
Exactly. And in a lot of ways, art still does that. It's a message put out there on a stage, often making us look at things we'd rather ignore.
Absolutely. It forces a confrontation sometimes.
So our mission today is to really dig into this deep connection, this often unbreakable link between art and politics.
Yeah.
We're going to take a journey. We'll start with some modern exhibitions, then look at global protest movements where art gets really dangerous. And finally, we'll dive into the curious case of Donald Trump and his unique impact on the art world.
And we're drawing all this from a really fascinating article, Art, Paintings, and Politics, The Link Between the Two in 2025. It's got some great insights.
It really does.
What struck me right away reading it was how it frames art not just as, you know, watching politics happen, but as being in it, as activism itself.
Right. Not just a mirror.
Exactly. I mean, sure, it reflects our ideas, our opinions, but it's also like a megaphone, right? Designed to boost ideas, challenge them, and ultimately kind of shape how we see things.
That perspective is so important. So let's start unpacking that. Let's go back to 2018, London, the Design Museum. They had this exhibition called Hope to Nope.
Ah, yes. I remember hearing about that one.
It was ambitious. It wanted to explore art and politics, specifically through graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
And the time frame was huge from the early 2000s financial crash, right?
Yeah.
Through Brexit, Trump, ISIS, the Arab Spring.
Wow, quite a span.
Yeah, really using visual communication as a lens on some very, very turbulent years.
It sounds like it. And the article suggests the exhibition really showed the anatomy of that influence, didn't it?
How so?
Well, it wasn't just about looking at nice designs. It was about how the form, like, you know, the simple, bold look of an Occupy Wall Street sign.
Right.
Dot lined with a clear message and a strategy, like using social media, could turn something local into a global symbol. It really broke down how these images start to shape our thoughts, our political landscape.
The curator, Margaret Cubbage, she made a key point that really stuck with me. She talked about the nonstop media social networking and how that just ramped up political awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Could you expand on how she saw those platforms changing things for political art?
Yeah, absolutely. Cubbage basically highlighted that these platforms gave people this immediate kind of unprecedented way to just voice their opinions.
Instantly.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Messages are constantly, as she put it, popping up in our news feed.
Hmm.
So you get this pervasive political environment where it's almost hard not to engage.
Right.
And this constant stream, it demanded new kinds of art. Art that could cut through all that noise. It needed to be representative and useful, something that actively activates and engages with people, gets them thinking, maybe even acting.
And social media was the engine for a lot of that spread. Ms. Cubbage noted how the internet's power to just send art everywhere globally completely changed visual politics over the last decade or so.
Oh, totally.
How did that shift actually affect the designers themselves, how they approached their work, knowing it could go worldwide in seconds?
Well, it made them incredibly conscious of their potential audience, their reach. They started creating images very deliberately for specific groups, but knowing, you know, that a local message could suddenly blow up internationally.
Interesting.
The article gives that great example. Jeremy Corbyn supporters taking the Nike logo and subverting it.
Yeah, I remember that.
It wasn't just copying a brand. It was injecting a political statement into something everyone recognized, turning it into their own instantly shareable symbol.
Mm-hmm.
That ability to kind of remix existing stuff for quick spread became a real feature of this era.
So art isn't just showing injustice. It's actively building community. It can be a seed of political alternatives, as the article said.
Mm-hmm.
And it mentions that during recent crises, artistic activism has become a favorite theme. Why do you think that is? What is it about artists that makes them so, well, effective in those moments?
That's a good question. I think partly it's because artists are often really quick to react. They can distill these complex events, these raw emotions, into something potent, visually or performatively.
Like a lightning rod.
Yeah, exactly. They often become the touch paper for how society reacts. They can articulate feelings that lots of people have but maybe can't easily express. They give us symbols, stories that bring movements together, make frustrations feel tangible, turn it into a call for action.
That leads perfectly to Cubbage's favorite example from the show, that newborn typographic in Pristina, Serbia.
Ah, newborn sign, yes.
Unveiled literally on their Independence Day. And they repaint it every single year, February 17th. It's more than a monument. The article calls it a rallying point and a time for reflection. What gives a piece like that such lasting, evolving power?
I think it's that mix of its incredibly powerful starting context, boom, a nation is born, and the fact that it's renewed every year. It's a ritual.
Right.
The word newborn, huge, bold letters, and it's just a declaration. But repainting it makes it a living tradition, not just a static thing. Each year, it's not just remembering independence. It's letting a new generation kind of reclaim it, reinterpret it. It keeps it relevant. It's like a conversation with history, not just a marker of it.
So this modern context sets the stage, but it connects to a bigger historical picture, right? Art has always been used to protest injustice, oppression.
Definitely.
But the stakes, wow, they vary wildly. You think about Banksy in the UK. His stencils are everywhere, even on the West Bank wall. Hugely impactful, obviously.
Massively.
But his personal risk, it's just different compared to artists in some other places.
That's a really crucial distinction the article makes. It highlights the stark contrast. In Western countries like the U.S., you've got legal protection for free speech. Mm-hmm. So political art, even something as big as Shepherd Fairey's Hope poster for Obama.
Iconic.
Totally iconic, hugely influential. But making it was, as the article says, less of a radical act. You might get debated, criticized, sure, but probably not thrown in jail.
Yeah, the consequences are different.
Whereas the really interesting and frankly courageous political art that's often found, as the article puts it, in countries with lesser human rights records, there, the personal cost for the artist can be immense.
That contrast raises a big question. What actually happens when art pushes those boundaries under regimes where the pushback is severe? Let's take Russia and Pussy Riot.
Right, the punk collective.
Yeah, this all-female group protesting authoritarianism, patriarchy. They did these unsanctioned shows in public, always wearing those bright balaclavas.
Very visible.
And their most famous one, protesting Putin in Moscow's main cathedral. Well, that led straight to arrest, jail time.
It did, serious time.
But weirdly, or maybe not so weirdly, it seemed to just fuel their cause and ideals further. How did the state cracking down actually end up amplifying their message?
Well, their actions and the state's reaction, they kind of became intertwined. It was all part of the performance in a way, a chilling performance that exposed the very oppression they were fighting.
So the crackdown backfired.
Massively. Imprisoning them didn't silence them. It created martyrs. It drew global eyes to their cause. It basically validated their whole argument about state control, turning a local protest into this huge international symbol of defiance.
And the article mentions an even more extreme artistic response from Russia. Peter Polensky. After Pussy Riot's arrest, he literally stitched his mouth shut in solidarity.
Yeah.
And he's continued using self-harm, his own body, to represent state oppression.
That level of commitment, of bravery, it's hard to comprehend.
It really is. Polensky's work uses the body as the ultimate, maybe the last, canvas for protest. It physically embodies the suffering, the silencing that the state imposes.
When other ways are blocked off. Exactly. When free expression is shut down, these extreme acts become this desperate, unavoidable cry for freedom. They're not just symbolic, they're deeply personal sacrifices meant to shock people into paying attention, especially a world that might prefer to look away.
Let's shift continents now to China. Ai Weiwei. He's probably the most famous artist operating in China today, right? Political or not?
Yeah, arguably. Huge international profile.
And he constantly pushes against government, oppression, censorship. For a while, it seemed like he was almost an anomaly, getting away with so much.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was arrested and imprisoned in 2011. That proved he wasn't untouchable. And many people saw that arrest as clearly politically motivated, underlining those links again.
Absolutely. And interestingly, his art arguably became even more political after his arrest.
How so?
Well, a lot of his later work directly deals with the government watching him, the surveillance. He used sculpture, documentary, turning the act of being watched into his subject matter. Yeah. And it just highlights what the article stresses. In places like Russia and China, making political art carries the very real threat of incarceration. It changes everything. Creating and showing that kind of art becomes this incredibly vital and brave act. It's a direct challenge to power that puts the artist's own freedom, maybe even their life, right on the line.
Okay, so we've gone from global defiance to these intense personal acts. Let's bring it to our final case study, something very contemporary. Trump art.
Ah, yes, the Trump effect.
I mean, Donald Trump undeniably controversial.
Mm.
And the article points out he's had this really bizarre impact on the art world. It contrasts it with Obama. You think Obama art, you think Shepherd Fairey's Hope. Mostly positive, aspirational.
Right. Uplifting, even.
But art depicting Trump, our source says it's almost entirely negative.
Yeah, that's a key observation. The article definitely highlights the sheer amount and often the aggressive tone of these unflattering portrayals.
Like Elmagor's nude painting, Make America Great Again, from early 2016.
That's the one. Valued incredibly at £1 million, it got lawsuit threats. The artist was allegedly assaulted.
Really?
Yeah. It went viral, huge online buzz, but the article notes it actually hasn't sold for that seven-figure price yet.
Interesting. And then there was that statue, right? The Indecline Group's naked Trump statue that popped up in Union Square, Manhattan, and other places.
Ha! Huh. Yes. That didn't last long.
No. The NYC Parks Department took it down in like 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
but their statement was gold. NYC Parks stands firmly against any unpermitted erection in city parks, no matter how small.
Perfect bureaucratic wit. It certainly got people talking, though.
Oh, absolutely.
And there was also the British artist, Alison Jackson. She hired a Trump lookalike for staged photos, kind of imagining his life behind closed doors. Often involved money, women.
Right. Provocative stuff.
Yeah. One piece, Trump money, valued around $6,000, $8,000, apparently sold right before the election in November 2016. So these pieces were definitely designed for that immediate political moment to stir things up.
They certainly did that. These sparked conversations, went viral. Great fun for his critics, I'm sure. But, you know, you think about powerful political art, stuff that lasts, like Guernica or Fairey's Hope poster even. Does this Trump art as a whole genre have any chance of enduring value? Or is it just, you know, a flash in the pan tied to his presidency?
Well, the source offers a pretty blunt assessment on that front, long-term value. It says many of these pieces will ultimately be worth nothing.
Nothing. Well, why?
The reasoning is actually quite simple but profound. It's that this kind of political art requires that context to have an impact on the viewer. These pieces were so specifically about his presidency, his controversies. Once he's out of office, once that immediate political heat dies down, the article argues the context was lost.
So they lose their punch.
Exactly. Their main power came from that direct, timely clash with a very intense political period. Without that immediacy, they just don't resonate in the same way for collectors or maybe even a wider audience down the line. Their relevance kind of evaporates.
And that really brings us full circle, doesn't it? This whole deep dive. It's shown us art as this potent mirror reflecting society, but also as a powerful catalyst for change.
Yeah, it works both ways.
From those carefully curated museum shows looking back at recent history to incredibly daring acts of protest globally, even in this sometimes funny, sometimes ephemeral world of political celebrity art.
Yeah.
It just speaks volumes.
That's right. And it does leave us with a really interesting question to chew on.
What's that?
Well, given how much political art seems to depend on its immediate context, you know, the headlines, the specific political fight, how do we, looking back later, figure out its lasting power, its real meaning, once all that noise fades?
Hmm. Good question.
One of those qualities that let some pieces transcend their time and place. Why do some keep speaking to us across generations, becoming timeless, not just timely?
Yeah, what makes it endure?
Exactly. That's something for you, our listeners, to maybe ponder.
A perfect thought to end on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it's giving you some fresh perspectives on that powerful, unbreakable link between art and politics. Until next time.